Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today's guest is Kristen Gieselin, and our topic is going to be a fun one because it's Halloween here, and we're not in costume, but I don't know, you might be tonight, maybe, I don't know. But we're going to be talking about women, witches, and crones. Before we begin the show, though, I want to remind everyone out there listening to check out my website at synergyconnectionradio.com and go to the Boomer link. It's B-O-O-M-E-R. I talk about wellness a lot on the show, and I've had Bob Gilpatrick do a number of shows now with me. And the products that Boomers have are actually quite life-changing. I have certainly enjoyed using them over the last year, but I think everybody can relate to the kind of health and wellness that these products do address. So if you go on their website, if you go to synergyconnectionradio.com and click on the Boomer link and go right onto their website, you can read about all of the different products that they actually carry. And if you decide after watching maybe some of the videos that these are products that would benefit you, then please use the promo code Lucy, L-U-C-Y, and you'll receive $5 off of each and every order that you make there. And so I just want to remind people that, you know, health and wellness go hand in hand with all of the rest of your spiritual, emotional, and mental wellness. If you don't have your physical health, it's pretty hard to have the rest. I think you would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, all right, Kristen, well, before we get going with women, witches, and crones, let's talk about how people can reach you.
Okay, sure. My name is Kristen Gieselin, and my email address is my name, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Gieselin, G like girl, E-E-S-L-I-N, number2@gmail.com. My phone number is 727-678-3761, and my Facebook page is my name, Kristen Gieselin, M-S.
All right, so they'll know how to find you for anything and everything they may want to do with you. I know you do individual work. You're doing some workshops, I think, online now.
Yeah, I'm teaching a class right now for amping up your intuitive mojo and stay mindfully grounded. And I'm teaching it in Zoom. This was my first foray into teaching in Zoom, so I've kept the class pretty small. The next class will be in January, and that's going to be on cleansing, clearing, and creating.
That's a great topic for January, too.
Yeah.
Start the new year off right.
Exactly. So, the private sessions that I do are either intuitive readings, intuitive coaching, and I do theta healing.
And tell people again what theta healing is, just in case they don't know.
Sure. I describe theta healing as a combination of cognitive behavioral therapy, Reiki, hypnotism, and prayer. And the whole approach is to help you identify any belief systems that are not supporting your mind, body, spirit wellness. And so pretty much, you know, we've discussed this at length on other shows. You know, it's that early conditioning in our experiences in this lifetime, and sometimes actually things that happened in prior lifetimes that shape our beliefs. So in the theta healing system, we look at things at four levels. We look at the core level, which is what happened with your personality in this lifetime. The genetic level, which is what you carry, of course, in your DNA from your parents and, you know, other folks, prior generations. The historical level, which is like the collective unconscious. Sometimes we believe things just because that's what our culture believes, or that's what we heard around the house. It went in our ears and we just believed that it was true. Or also at the soul level. So sometimes, you know, especially like we're going to be talking today about witches and crones and, you know, the healer, sort of the role of the healer. A lot of times people have had trauma related to that in prior lifetimes, which makes it challenging for them sometimes to step into their full power in this personality, in this time space.
Very, very true. Well, let's get started. So this is such an interesting topic to look at, given that it's Halloween. And we're doing this show as a pre-recorded show, just in case you're kind of curious as to the time differences. This one will air on November the 9th. And they are moving the Synergy Connection show to a Saturday at 11. And so this particular show is going to go into that time slot. So if you're listening to it on November the 9th and you're wondering why we're talking about this being Halloween, it's because we're actually recording the show on Halloween. So let's delve into this. When you pick the topic, what made you choose the topic other than the fact that it is Halloween?
I work with a lot of women, and most of them are, I would say, 50 or older. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but mm-hmm. often. And they're often experiencing changes in the way they perceive reality. Mm-hmm. For some reason or other, you know, at this time of life, our intuition often opens up more fully. And there's lots of reasons behind that, I believe.
What are some of those reasons?
Okay, well, part of it is that we're less distracted by the outer world.
Like children pulling on you saying, mommy, mommy, mommy.
Exactly. That would be one of the things. Uh-huh. Often we've moved beyond really defining ourselves in terms of our relationship to our man. We have one, we don't have one, it's good, it's bad, it's okay, whatever. Whatever it is, we're not defining ourselves any longer by that relationship. Uh-huh. And our emotional reality doesn't rise and fall with the status of that situation.
So in other words, some people are married and it's an amazing relationship. Sometimes they're in a partnership that's great. Sometimes they're divorced. Sometimes they're widowed. Sometimes they're caring for a spouse. So there's a lot of different roles they may be playing, and they can all be good, bad, or indifferent.
The point the observation I've made is that I think early in a woman's life, we're conditioned to somehow define ourselves according to what's going on with those mm-hmm. intimate connections.
Sure.
Whereas later, we have lived enough life to understand who we are as separate, independent individuals.
Right. I'll interject and just supply something that I thought is certainly humorous in many respects, but relates to this. There is a new television series called God Friended Me. Are you familiar with it?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's very sweet, very cute. But in the latest show, they have a couple, and she's actually in her residency in the hospital. And her significant other, has come into his life as far as credibility and, you know, making a good income. And so her family has decided that because he now has this substantial role in the world, that he is a good fit for their daughter, who is becoming a physician. They were waiting for that to happen. And so they were the ones who decided that they should now get engaged, as opposed to the couple deciding. And what you're saying is very true. In a lot of cultures, it's like, okay, you're now between the ages of 20 and maybe 30, and it's time to get married and start a family.
Right.
So that goes on.
Exactly.
Still today.
So thankfully, most women that I meet and encounter have moved beyond that mm-hmm. by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Right.
Right.
Right. So that's one of the things that happens, I think, for women at this age. And our kids are out of the house. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have proven ourselves professionally. Okay, we have done something in the world. Okay, mm-hmm. A, B, C, D, E, whatever it is. We have some mastery in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the new frontier is the internal world. And sort of making sense of and organizing sort of what has transpired or hasn't transpired in our lives up to this point becomes important. It's like a developmental milestone, you know,
right.
as we prepare to age and move toward the ends of our lives. We right. want there to be some order or sense or meaning in what we have accomplished or whatever has happened or hasn't happened. There's a need to sort of sort that. And that's an internal process.
Right. To me, it's like, I talk about connecting the dots on the show of the emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual. But I also look at threads, and I know you do. And there are existing threads if we go back and we look at our childhood and then we move forward. We'll see that we're weaving this amazing patchwork quilt. And all those threads, as you begin to get an overview of it and not just in the moment view, you'll step back and go, wow, I didn't see that, or I didn't quite grasp how that was happening.
Yeah, so from this time in life, you know, Chronos comes from Chronos, which is time. So, you know, once time has passed, you know, or even Kung Fu means like practice and putting time in. So having a certain degree of ability to negotiate your internal experience and the external world with some skill takes time.
Takes time. Mm-hmm. Very true. And certainly, I'm thinking about a lot of the women that I know and that I do things with, and that's true. You know, we're all kind of moving in a rhythm of sorts that's taking us forward, but collecting all of these little fragments that have been us and making them into maybe a much stronger thread at this point. We're braiding it.
So. Right. It's. I feel like we're really coming into our full power as human beings, you know, at this time.
Very interesting. All right. So what is the definition of a crone? Because I think there might be other, I don't know, walks of life that might look at a crone differently than what we're going to talk about.
Right. I see, you know, there's the stages of a woman's life. You know, there's maiden, wife, mother, crone are our stages. And for me, I've looked forward to this phase because I don't know if it's because I come from a matriarchal family. And I was always encouraged by my mother to cultivate who I was. I was never encouraged to try to sort of obtain value through the mate that I would have. That just was not the kind of messaging that I received. And I haven't overly identified my personal value with what I look like. So as I age, I find my life gets more rewarding, more interesting, and easier. And so I'm enjoying it more and more as time progresses. I know there are some people who may not have had the same kind of internal focus for so long. And as they start to see their bodies, you know, fall apart and their hair gray and turn brittle and the wrinkles, they're not pleased.
True. And certainly the marketing that goes on television and in magazines would say that that's a bad thing.
Exactly. Right. So unfortunately, I feel that sort of it's almost like the baby goes out with the bathwater. For the fact that our very commercialized culture focused so much on that youthful type of, you know, youth having value, we may have disconnected from the value of the wisdom that comes from living life.
Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I'll kind of, you know, go back for just one brief second that you mentioned, you know, the health issues that as you age. I personally do not believe that they have to become paramount. I think you can begin at an earlier age and certainly at any age to start looking at what you eat, how much you're sleeping, what you're doing with your stress level, and so on and so on and so on. You know, because we can age gracefully. We can age with health as a part of who we are rather than, oh, we don't have our health anymore, but we have wisdom. It can be a package.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, you can be very healthy and not necessarily look like a cover model, you know.
Right,
so
right.
Those things are not, you know, exactly together.
Right. I think there's maybe it's a CoverGirl commercial. I'm not sure which one, but it shows an older lady that has this beautiful silvery hair, and I think she's putting on some makeup, and the comment is more along the lines of, you know, they say that looks don't matter anymore as you age, and then there's this little brief second or two, and then she says, I wonder what age that is. And so, you know, the point being made is, yes, I think we do care to some degree about how we feel and how we look at any age. I know my mom did, you know, up until she was in her late 80s.
And we should, because mm-hmm. we're going to see ourselves in the mirror more than anybody else is going to see us and, you know, see us right. for the most part, you know.
Right.
So really, for me, how I look is for me more than for anyone else.
Right.
It's so
you're
that,
not doing it for the man in your life.
Right. I mean, I would if that opportunity arose. But the primary motivation is that I feel like I'm taking good care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making the most of what I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, just the grooming process, you know, is self-care.
Right.
So there's a lot of elements to that. And also for me, you know, because I am sometimes like, you know, being seen either on Facebook or I'm being seen in Zoom, you know, I want to be at least as appealing as I can be. To present, you know, the content that
right.
that's really, you know, why people are showing up.
Right, exactly.
I think Christiane Northrup has done a really awesome job with sort of crossing between, you know, internal health and looking good. You know, she's, I don't know if you're all familiar with her, but she is a Yale-educated physician who was really a pioneer in women's wellness. And she has, you know, products that she's developed, and she looks beautiful, but she also feels beautiful, you know. So, you know, physician, lived the life of a physician, so obviously worked hard and, you know, did a lot of service and has written a couple of books, at least I think 3 or 4 books that she's written.
So, on wellness in general? Or?
Yep, and menopause and, you know, after menopause and just, you know, exactly. Yeah, very, all considering all the different elements of health, mind, body, spirit health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's even spoke about when women get, like, breast implants and things, if they do it because they want to do it, the body rejects the breasts much less than if they do it for someone else. If they do it for their man, the body isn't usually as receptive or happy with it. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, that is. Uh-huh. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense because mm-hmm. on a cellular level, you know, there's some negativity with the implant if it's not coming because you want it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So a crone then is going to be somebody who maybe is over the age of 50. And maybe is beginning to better understand who she is and what life maybe is all about for her. And she's beginning to do introspection, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, more. So, and to also sort of share what she has amassed, you know, during her lifetime, the wisdom that she has accumulated. It's an opportunity for her to be moving into that role.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So I'm thinking in some of the metaphysical kinds of movies and books, we hear crones associated with witches and with what's called hags. And so how does that all fit? You know, how do they kind of work together? Because a crone, as we're describing her, might be anybody over the age of 50 that's doing introspection and beginning to understand more who they are. And maybe the witches and hags have gotten a bad rap.
Yeah, well, I do feel that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know, you know, I'm not like an expert on the hags, but the concept that eventually, you know, the exterior is going to fall away, and all that we have left is whatever energetic imprint we've created here,
right.
you know, and what we take with us.
Right.
So that attachment to the external eventually has got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our very youth culture oriented society, at least in the United States, maybe not quite so bad, I think, in Europe and some other countries, you know, we might not be moving toward embracing everything that it means. I mean, you could be a young witch too. I mean, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what would a modern witch look like? You know, mm-hmm. who's your modern witch? Mm-hmm. And there's one person in my group that's she has a feed called Practical Magic. Okay, so she is doing maybe some ritual things, healing, lifestyle choices. You know, traditionally in the past, witches were the healers and the holders of the information about, you know, herbal knowledge, mm-hmm. You know, mystical information, you know, perhaps highly intuitive. And of course,
certainly understood the planets.
Understood the planets, right. So different, I'm sure you can't just define, you know, each witch with one set of criteria, you
right.
know, because there, you know, as many different types of, you know, esoteric arts, you know, there's a long list of esoteric arts and knowledges, you know, just mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, being an oracle, different types of herbalism, you know, different energy healing, you know, which is something that you are very familiar with, mm-hmm. you know, so there's lots of variety.
Well, and we were talking before we started the recording about the similarities between Native American medicine women and, say, witchcraft. You know, the totally different ways of looking at things, and yet they both were working with nature. They both were working with herbs and plants and berries and extracts and what is the old expression about eye of newt?
Right.
You know, so being able to kind of embrace that different cultures, the Celtics in Ireland, you know, had this huge amount of knowledge of how to use nature for healing.
Right. Well, that's where all of the medicine that we have comes from nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
it does.
Just, yeah.
It does. So if you were defining a witch or a hag in today's terminology, what would it be?
You know, I hate to try to pin that down exactly. You know, I meet a lot of, you know, I run with the intuitives. You know,
mm-hmm.
I run with the intuitive women.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of people feel that at least some element of who they are in the world has a witchness to it. Okay, some people might not define their entire identity as a witch, but some part of their identity resonates with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of what I see in currently. And the part of it has to do, I feel like, with women owning their power and agency in the world. And, you know, since 2012, when the end of the world as we knew it ended,
mm-hmm.
we are now going into a phase where there's a more matriarchal energy, a more divine feminine energy that's rising,
mm-hmm.
because we were, you know, way out of balance with the divine, you know, with the masculine energy. It was really out of balance. So, you know, part of the way I guess I think of a witchy woman would include a connection to nature as source. You know, nature is, you know, our planet. All of the life here is how we are living. And I think there was a big disconnect with that for a long time that's created a lot of problems here on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I could say, you know, kind of across the board would be the desire and the practice of preserving nature and
taking care of Mother Earth.
Yeah, taking care of Mother Earth, exactly.
Because mm-hmm. if she's not here, then we're not here.
Right, and the more nature connected ritual practices embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
You know the different things that happen at the changing of the seasons and the solstices and the moon cycles and all that, you know, traditionally practiced by indigenous cultures, and I think that I would include that in the witchy wisdom, you know, would be a connection to nature. And many of the intuitives that I know and metaphysicians are connected to that in a way that has meaning for them. You know, they do some kind of a ritual, whether it's new moon wishing or, you know, full moon releasing. You know, they do these different rituals, you know, pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're in any other kind of established religious practice, they may or may not be. But they do definitely recognize, you know, the major things that are happening, you know, in the environment.
So, you know, when we think about which is in, let's say, children's books. You know, the hag that is presented there, usually is somebody who's not terribly attractive. Now, Bewitched, that whole series, showed a whole different side of witchcraft. And now they've got, I think it's on the Disney Channel, maybe, or Hallmark Channel, they've got one called Witches. It's a series that's on a regular basis. But I remember, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Cinderella. A lot of these were portrayed as evil and scary.
Right. The witches were always evil and scary, which is very, you know, sort of speaks to the time when those things were being created, too. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of mystical, women were not as fully embracing their mystical power, I don't think, as they are now. You know, you might see women being more, if you think of, you know, Ozzie and Harriet, you know, women were, had a defined role that was much more confined to, you know, serving the larger, you know, corporate universe.
Right. Even in All in the Family with Archie Bunker.
Right.
I mean, Edith waited until he walked in the door and then scurried around making sure that his dinner was on the table. And, you know, so we have moved away from that kind of looking at the family, and you know, the feminine role in the family was to have children, take care of the children, and nourish the family and take care of the home. And not that Native Americans or witches, you know, in the past or any of that kind of thinking didn't take place, because it did, but the portrayal of it is very different today.
Right. And I would say, you know, based on my own experience with the people that are in my circles, because I, you know, I haven't done any official research on this. You have people that are interested in magic or metaphysics or healing are on a continuum, just like people in any other profession, group, or interest. There are some that I think are more evolved and some are less evolved. Some are a little more selfish, some are a little more generous. Okay, some seem to have energy that's clearer, some seem to have more healing to do. You know, so it's not really smart to, like, lump everybody, you know, into a category. I think it's important to use your own experience and your own senses to ascertain who you're dealing with in any specific type of a situation.
Right.
And sometimes you don't know at the beginning. Sometimes it takes a few whacks before you figure out, wow, these people are not really all they, you know, are talking about. You know, maybe they're aspiring to this, but, you know, their mastery isn't quite there yet.
Right. And they have a clue as to the direction, the path that they want to go down, but they're finding their way.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And you and I have met a lot of people over the years that out of their mouth comes who they think they are, but in reality that isn't who they are at all yet. It may be who they want to become.
Exactly.
But they're just not there yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just give them a hug and let them go on their way, but know that that's not necessarily the right person for you to be in, on the path with.
Right.
So that changes things. Now, with kiddos that are, you know, getting ready to go trick-or-treating, so I think it's really funny today. I mean, when I was a kid and we went trick-or-treating, the costumes we had then were totally different than what they have today. But how do you see Halloween, maybe, and this whole concept of trick-or-treating in the broad picture?
Well, you know, I didn't do a lot of research on this holiday, but I think the whole concept is to be able to, there's a couple levels here. There's you know, the connection with those that have passed on. You know, those of us that, you know, whoever has passed to the other side, that we still have some sort of connection with them.
Well, and it's interesting that tomorrow is All Souls Day.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have the trick-or-treating component today, and then we have All Souls Day tomorrow.
Right. So there's that element that we, that those of us, you know, our ancestors that loved us and cared for us, you know, are still in some kind of energy signature, you know, and they're still part of our lives. And honoring that is important. And then, you know, the scary costume business, you know, In the Vajrayana practice, we have some scary looking deities. And that's because the ego is scary. And sometimes you need a scary ritual practice to stand up to it. You need a scary look to stand up to some of the things that you might need to confront in your own development. you know, your can own you, self, yeah, soul can, development.
Right. Can you maybe expand on that just a little bit? Because I kind of am feeling like a listener might be going, huh? What is she talking about?
Well, you know, as human beings, we have areas of growth or development or areas that we were hurt or that we need to heal, mm-hmm. that it takes an enormous amount of courage to confront.
Right. Okay. It's looking in that mirror and kind of seeing, yes, you need to be addressing this. And
right.
It might be a fear.
Could be a fear.
It might be anger.
Could be anger, right?
It might be, you know, feelings of abandonment.
Yep.
You know, but whatever it might be, we tend to get very busy and ignore it until it knocks us down.
Right. And so sometimes, you know, we need to call on our angry or wrathful energy mm-hmm. to move through things, okay? Or when it's time to let something go from your life, sometimes it's difficult to do that until there's some of that wrathful energy that builds up. That so, you need some of that to move forward with your growth and development.
Do you think it's possible that over the years, if people have gone to, let's say, a Halloween costume contest, and they are choosing what they're going to wear, is it possible that they're actually choosing at that moment maybe one of the things that they need to encounter?
Oh, possibly. Sure. The subconscious is very clever, mm-hmm. you know, and tries to bring things to our attention. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, this has been quite a few years ago now, but we were actually having dinner at the same place where there was a large masquerade contest. And I found it fascinating because the costumes were totally either amazingly beautiful or very, very outrageous. But I was thinking to myself at the time, I wonder how they chose that particular costume. And in this discussion today, maybe it is because they were dealing with one aspect of their personality. And that got to come through.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes we don't always get to be a princess, or we don't always get to be
a soldier.
Whatever we want, whatever. It's nice. The whole costume thing allows us to explore different elements of ourselves that we can't necessarily explore in our day-to-day lives.
Right.
So there is a type of freedom of expression and creativity, you know, that comes into that. That we don't necessarily get a lot of opportunities throughout the year to express.
To do.
Yeah.
So those of you listening out there, if you're thinking about next year's costume party, you know, maybe, choosing something that will help address an area of your life that you're working through, you know, it might actually help you do that, possibly.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
All right. So I want to go back to Crohn's for just a minute. So this person that maybe is in a matriarchal position in the family that could also be considered the crone of the family or one of the crones of the family. And so what do they bring to families? What are the attributes that they can bring in?
Well, you know, hopefully if it's like it's sort of like an unofficial official role. And
that would be aunts and grandmothers and whatever.
Sure. I think when we used to live in extended families, it was natural to consult the senior members mm-hmm. on matters, interpersonal matters, decisions, you know, because they were kind of like right there and handy.
Right.
I think we may miss the opportunity to do that now because a lot of times we're all living, you know, separately. And it really depends on how intact the relationship is, you know, with those people in those specific families mm-hmm. and how skillful that crone is, because nobody wants somebody in their business unless you're invited in.
Right.
So it's the crone who is holding the wisdom, but not needing to play a particular role or activate that in some way where she's just there present. And when the opportunity arises, someone seeks out that wisdom. You know, I just think that there's less of that generational transference, okay, mm-hmm. Than there might have been.
I mean, you had an awesome opportunity as you were growing up with your grandmother and your mother.
Yes.
Because they were there for consulting when you wanted them to be.
Yep. So. Yeah, I worked for my grandmother when I was a young teen. So mm-hmm. I was actually transmitted, you know, how do you work?
Right.
You know, so that was, you know, very, you know, clear kind of, you know, here's how you do it.
Right. And in my particular case, my grandmothers, I had grandfathers, but my grandmothers were deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And so other than my mom, an aunt, you know, occasionally something like that, I really didn't have that same ability to look at somebody who was older and kind of consult with them or be with them. So, and I think that's how you learn. I mean, like, if your child has children, that's how you learn to be a loving grandparent, is from what you've experienced too.
Right, right.
Otherwise you wouldn't know how.
Right, right. The models that mm-hmm. are shown to you.
Or vice versa. If somebody, you know, came out of a family where the grandparents were very punishing or non available, then they don't know how, you know, to be grandparents again someday. So very interesting on that regard. So we have, oh golly, I guess I would say, you know, in today's society, do we embrace the older women in it? I'm wondering if we actually do, or if we're still kind of looking, because of the way our marketing is done on, again, television and social media and everything else, it seems like the focus is still far more at youth and at the years where you're becoming something. You know, the promotion is education, become all you can be. And I'm not sure that after you've reached that crone status, you may indeed be doing exactly what you need to be doing, but maybe it's not valued as much.
I think it's starting. If we
to
look,
be valued?
I think we're starting. I mean, okay. You know, like Maya Angelou is somebody I would think of that really, I think her crone status was acknowledged. You know, Oprah is in that category actually now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one that came to mind,
uh-huh.
who is just, man, you know, powerhouse, a
right.
powerhouse.
Did you see the movie?
I did.
The Basis of Sex?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh,
oh no, maybe I did see that on the documentary.
Well, no, it was an actual movie.
Oh, no, I think I did see it. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. if anybody hasn't seen.
Yeah, no, I think I did see it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very impressive.
Yeah. Her life's work is monumental.
Mm-hmm.
And much, and maybe in a way, no, we are not giving the kind of airtime, press, attention to the kind of really huge social impact
mm-hmm.
that certain women have made, because probably most people do not understand, you know, how much of an impact RBG has made, you know, for us in this century, both men and women, you
right.
know, rights for both men and women.
Oh, well, I mean, and that was the whole foundation of that movie, was it was a man's right to stay home and take care of his ailing mother. And, you know, she fought for both sides, that we should have, it should not be only females can do this. And in his case, that they were ruling against him initially because he was a male caregiver.
Yeah. So, she's really, and this wisdom, you know, it's the wisdom for the new age. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is the way, you know, how things are. We're evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're stepping out of those rigid sexual, you know, realities.
Right.
And so, you know, the people who are sort of the way showers for that,
mm-hmm.
you know, are so important to us, because our society is evolving and changing, and sometimes the institutions and the laws are slow
right.
to make the change.
And speaking of institutions, I think one of the big things that I have seen for many, many, many years, I'm going to go back to China, Japan, Native Americans. Those cultures in particular revere their elders. And that is something that we've lost here. And I do think it's in part because, you know, we're not considered after the age of maybe 80 to be viable anymore. It's like, okay, you know, you need to shuffle off here and go do whatever, but, you know, it's kind of stay out of sight. It's almost like the reversal of children should be seen and not heard. And that's what's happening with the elderly, is they should not be seen or heard, and put them in a nursing home if they need to be there, or in an assisted care facility if they need to be there, but don't bother me with it. And that's sad because with, like I said, the Native Americans, the Chinese culture, the Japanese, they always looked at their elders for wisdom and for guidance, and they took care of them. You know, they would never dream, unless today it's changing. I know it's not with Native Americans, but it might be with the Chinese and it might be with the Japanese, with modern technology. But, you know, they always took care of them until the day they died.
Right. And I think part of that is because in our country, we're really focused more on knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Knowledge is great, but wisdom is something else.
Right.
You know, and, you know, as a woman, you know, reach her crone years, she's got hopefully all of it. It's skills, knowledge, and wisdom.
Right.
Which is very powerful. And so that's the other thing, okay,
mm-hmm.
is this to some extent is related to power.
It is.
And how the power is shifting in our culture.
Right.
And how, you know, we had a lot more women, you know, elected to, you know, government here in the United States this last cycle. So it's that it's still we're still in that process of getting the divine feminine and divine masculine in a more balanced type of relationship rather
mm-hmm.
than having, you know, one out of control and the other one being suppressed.
Right. And the whole Me Too movement, I think, in part, is taking some of that power back. Maybe they're doing it a little more aggressively because it's new to be able to say, no, you can't do that anymore, and I'm not going to let you. But the other thing that kind of comes to my mind, do you remember as a little girl, did your grandmother maybe make homemade rolls for Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I had one grandmother that was a career woman, and actually I had an extra set of grandparents because my father's parents got divorced and remarried others.
Okay.
So I had two that were more career focused and one that was a role maker, I would say.
Okay.
She worked, but she did all the domestic arts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today, I would wager to say that most people grab Pillsbury.
Oh, right. Would you make something from scratch? Yeah.
Right.
How often does somebody actually even know how to make something from scratch?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can remember, you know, as a very small girl, mom, you know, and I'm sure she learned it from her mother, who learned it from her mother. But I can remember these clover leaf dinner rolls. And you roll them in little balls, and there were like three little balls in each little container that was, you know, like muffin pan of sorts. But the three little balls would touch, and you would let them rise. And then they would go in the oven after they had risen for probably a couple of hours. And I remember the smell, the aroma of that. And that's one of those childhood memories that just never goes away. So I wonder with young children today, you know, as we're trying to find that balance between being out in the work field and having some domesticated skills too, are they going to only remember going to the refrigerator and seeing, you know, grandma pull out or mom pull out the Pillsbury dinner rolls? Or are they going to have the ability to say, you know, there are some family traditions that are so cool, and making Christmas cookies or making breads or making homemade stews, you know, that still will exist?
Right. I think it is sort of at risk
mm-hmm.
With the amount of work that a lot of people are doing just to keep body and soul together.
Right.
To take the time to do things from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the holidays is the only time that people do take the time to do that.
Right.
There are some lucky families who figure out how to live, I think, more simply and do more things by hand, organically. And children have an opportunity to learn how to innovate and make and do
mm-hmm.
and bake and cook, and it's wonderful when parents can find a way for that to happen. But I think a lot of times you've got two parents working outside the home, or you've got one parent working two jobs and the other one working one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, there just isn't enough, you know, enough hours in the day for those things to happen for some families.
Right. Or you have to restructure your time a little bit to make, you know, that 15 minutes. It's like sometimes we talk about, okay, if you need to get up 15 minutes earlier to have me time, just to sit with a cup of coffee, then that's what you need to do.
Right.
But maybe we also need to figure out a way.
I think right now 50% of children in the United States are living at or below the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are those families are not making stuff from scratch at home in their kitchens for holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some are, but not likely.
And yet, you know, back in the 40s, that's exactly what they did.
Right. Right. So, well, they had, once again, that you had the extended family. So you could have grandma maybe doing some things, and everybody was all working together, you know, living in a situation that might have been partially a farm.
Yep,
so you had some food that was...
on the farm.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. They could go out and get their eggs and get their stuff out of the garden and whatnot. So if a person is, you know, technically... at that crone stage, you know, over the age of certainly 50, beginning to have that introspective ability, what are some of the ways that you maybe would recommend that they get in touch with that part of themselves?
Right. Well, definitely hanging out with other women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the richness in my life and the sustaining force of my life are these networks with women that I have. I mean, I have the Voyager women. I have the Theta Healing women. I have women that I network with locally who are doing interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of, for me, this is how I learn and grow. You know, I haven't been back for formal education in an, you know, institutional environment for many years. But the new skills, many of the new skills and things that I know how to do come from these networks.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, the first time I did a podcast, it was because I was invited to by a woman in a networking group. Or, you know, our relationship, okay, we had a certain connectivity, you know, from me coming into the intuitive environment that you were working in, the metaphysical environment you were working in.
Right.
But
right.
Once again, it was that little conversation, you know, that we had back and forth that started to show, oh, we have some common ground. You know, oh yeah, we both have this formal education part, but we're both into metaphysics, you know, and then from there. So that's number one, find the other crones. Find the other crones. Don't be isolated, because that's not really fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there is an ad on television that is prolific, I will say, at this point, about these basset hounds. I don't know whether you've seen them, but it's for Facebook groups. So if somebody's listening and they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, I go to church, I go to work, I have a couple of neighbors that I do things with, but I don't know where to find maybe these crone groups or groups where we can support each other with some of the information that we're now desiring. Okay, let's put it that way. So they could look up Facebook groups.
Oh, absolutely.
Meetup groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meetups is a great place to meet people. Facebook is a great place to meet people. And I have some of my people, because they live in other places, I may have met them through, you know, these affiliations, but then my relationship with them is online. You know, I connect with them either, you know, through the Facebook video calls or through Zoom or whatever. So not all of my network is local. I have a fair amount of network that is not local.
Right. And that... kind of, I don't know, to me that is extremely supportive, because we do live in sort of a more isolated world today. You know, we walk behind our apartment door, our condo door, our house door, and that's where it stops. You know, we don't sit on front porches anymore and watch people go by that are neighbors and say hi. We just don't do that. So by having the support through, you know, maybe the Facebook online groups, they can connect, and you can exchange ideas and talk about what are you thinking these days.
Exactly. And, you know, I find a lot of women our age are at the point where we can do creative projects that we have not been able to get to at prior times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're about to release a book, and you're about to publish a book. I'm doing these online classes that I'm creating from scratch. I have a coaching system that I'm developing, you know, because I have something to bring to the table.
Right.
You know, this is the coaching system is an integration of stuff that I learned. It goes all the way back to when I worked with children with special needs 0 to 5, you know, and little bits and pieces here and there all coming together.
Right. So, and I think you forget. I mean, I know I do personally. Somebody was talking to me not too very long ago, you know, that's outside of my normal realm as we're getting ready to market The Adventures of Miss Twiggs and Company. And, you know, they said, well, we want to see everything that you've done. And when I started pulling it all together, I thought, wow, you know, there's a lot that I've done that you kind of forget. And each one of those pieces do relate, or they can support this new endeavor. So like with your online training, you can. You've got multiple threads that you can bring in, and you've done it all, but you sort of forget that you did it all. So that part is pretty cool, I think. There was a question that I wanted to bring out. So I don't know how to exactly say this. Do you know any women that are sporting what's called their wisdom look? You know,
yeah.
What does that look like?
Well, wisdom locks or wisdom look. There is somebody in my Facebook feed. This woman, she has Practically Magic, and she's let her hair go completely gray. No more hair color. Zip.
Okay.
And she has beautiful hair. She looks fantastic. You know, some people at a certain point just want to step away a little bit from what we might anticipate as the cultural expectations for how we look.
Right.
Now, I am a redhead and I'm very attached to my red hair. And I will probably be coloring my hair until it won't hold color. Because I'm used to seeing myself like that.
Right.
You know, and maybe eventually I won't want to. I don't know. But I just... it's like a comfort to me to see the color. And I like color. Okay. I'm a color person. You know that. I'm always doing lots of things with color. So for me, maybe that's part of it. But just kind of, and also I think women start dressing differently. You know, we're not like caged up in professional attire as much. And so you can be more outrageous, you know, with your color selection, with the style. You can wear things that are comfortable. You know, there, you know, it's like you never necessarily want to be in a pair of heels and hose again in your life if you were trapped in that for many years. You know,
I haven't worn any kind of hose, I don't think, since I moved to Florida.
Right, exactly. So it's like this liberation,
right.
You know, and it's like you can breathe because you're not locked into the role, you're not locked into the clothes that went with that role.
Right.
And, you know, even now, I've only been doing this work for 3 years, and I've reviewed, you know, what my headshot was 3 years ago, and I'm like, that's a little too stuffy. It's a little too stiff. You know, who I am today and how I thought I needed to present myself would still be informed by the fact that I had worked in business, you know, in organizations for many years.
It's hard to get out of that.
It is. And so now when I look at myself, I do not, you know, I'm really my personality, what I bring to the table, what I think is really the value of what I bring doesn't necessarily match what you see in that headshot.
Right.
So now I'm like, okay, great. It's time to rebrand. I have to figure out how I'm going to look in the next photographs to sort of just be more representative of where the value is from what I bring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to some extent that really is freedom of creative expression, you know, so I need to be able to show a freedom of creative expression in how I present myself.
You know, what I'm thinking too is, again, going back to Halloween costumes.
There we go.
Yeah. And, you know, so the costume that we wear in the corporate world is one thing so that we will be acknowledged. And, you know, after that, it's a matter of, you know, like the mommy world. I don't know whether you did this or not, but I know I was working and a mom.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
So I never wore the, you know, sweatpants and everything else, you know, going out the door. I always had on more of a corporate look. But today, yeah, I don't wear anything that smacks of corporate whatsoever. It's all comfortable. And so that's interesting. And you and I are both redheads.
Yep.
And I have never put a drop of color on my hair ever. But what's happening now is that I have, you know, little highlights, if you will,
yes,
that work. And so that's interesting all by itself.
Indeed. So... So that's the wisdom locks, the wisdom look. A lot of women have decided to go ahead and let their hair go gray and just stop doing the hair color.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that would be the wisdom locks then. So as the year turns toward its end, so we are now into November. We're moving up towards Thanksgiving. And we're moving then after that very rapidly, because Thanksgiving is late this year. It's the last Thursday.
Right.
So normally it's around the 23rd, and I think this year it's the 28th.
Oh, my.
I know that they're saying, as far as like retail businesses are panicking, which is why they're already in the stores, you know, so early in the year. For Christmas shoppers. But as we look at all of this, and as we're moving towards the end of 2019, I think 2020 is going to hold a lot of wonderful things on many, many different levels for a lot of people. And what would you want listeners, you know, today to kind of take away from this show as far as women, witchcraft, crones, as they move into 2020?
Right. The first thing is, define what your idea of success is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let other people tell you, you know, what your life should look like. It's so easy to be influenced in so many different ways. When we allow that too much, we don't find what's truly satisfying for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really being honest about what we find satisfying and being okay with that. I think is the biggest message, you know, that I would say. And to trust that when you pursue what you find satisfying, that good will result.
Right.
That there's not a, you don't have to martyr yourself. You don't have to deny yourself in order to make it in the world or to be successful or to have a life where you have connections. And I think to some extent, as young women, we're sort of molding ourselves to fit into what we think society expects of us in order to be successful or achieve the things that we think we want to achieve. And this time, I feel it's like almost like we're reversing that process. The layers of things that we have been inculcated into, we are taking it off. Mm-hmm. And
I would say, don't even hang it in the closet, you know, walk it to the curb.
Exactly. Take it and put it in the curb, because then then new vistas open up,
mm-hmm.
new ways of perceiving reality, new ways of understanding who you are and how you relate to others and what really is meaningful and how you bring value, you know, to not just yourself, but, you know, yourself, your family, your inner circle, and to society at large.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very true. And, you know, again, I would guess they're going to have to get away a little bit from what social media says is your role, because that plays so heavily with young people, what your peers are saying through social media. Can be a big factor.
Apparently, it's really brutal for the younger people.
Yeah, I think it is. And we didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody was bullying us, you know, through our phones, because we didn't have cell phones,
right,
you know, running around with us. And by the time we had them, we were adults and probably had a little more sense. But yeah, I think, you know, we've always had parents that try to influence. We have, you know, our whatever church maybe that we are affiliated with that tries to influence us. Certainly politics figure in, and friends, extended family members. And as a lot of people are getting ready to go be with family for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, it might be a good time to
reevaluate,
yeah, right. And reflect.
I try to operate in the world according to what's the most appropriate way to be in this environment that brings some value, and maybe I'm operating from a place of understanding and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not overly trying to fit in, be politically correct, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
But to just more authentically care about the people that are around me, which luckily I don't have to work for that. I generally am interested in human beings and what's happening with them. And to just I'd say for me, when I'm in environments now, I can find my authentic form of expression more naturally.
Well, and you're exercising that whole concept of mindfulness.
Right.
And being present and not having a lot of hidden agenda that's coming in with you. So that is all really great. Well, Kristen, thank you again so much for being with me. I know that we'll continue to do shows together.
And thank you, Lucy. I love coming and doing the show. It's always fun.
And for those of you that know that there's a family member that needed to maybe really hear what Kristen and I discussed today, please send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are all archived there, and there's over 6 pages of archived shows at this point that you can explore. I think all of them are fascinating, but some will be a better fit for maybe you than others. And again, go back to Boomers and, you know, just click on their website and check out their wellness products. They are truly amazing, and they will help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us. See you next time.